I'm sorry that I recommend that you and I play anime sex games and voice them over. Oh, wait, that
I
was
I never
you.
Said it was a sex game, okay? It's a literature club where there's just supposedly cute girls in it.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Shenantics. I am currently recording in my temporary kitchen studio, so I may sound a little bit echoey, but Skanky, I'm sure, will be able to carry us with his sultry-sounding, awesome voice.
Oh, stop it, you!
I'm sorry, I just gotta... It's true, Skanky, it's true.
So you're in the kitchen?
I'm in the kitchen. I'm literally sitting in my kitchen right now. So it's been a...
Really?
Yeah, it's been one heck of a weekend.
We could take a pause in the podcast. You could like get some mac and cheese together, like make a grilled cheese while we're having this.
I'm cooking right now. I'm cooking as we record. Like, did you just hear me flip the omelet? Like,
oh, I thought you were serious for a second. Because I was like super interested in what you were making.
You're like, oh, tell me more about what food
this
is.
No, now I'm not excited. And now I can't trust you anymore because you're lying right to my face.
I'm sorry. I am in the kitchen, though. I am in the kitchen. So.
Okay. Well, thank God you didn't lie to me about that.
No, I would. Who would lie about recording a podcast in a kitchen? Only a complete monster.
For those who don't know, why are you in the kitchen right now?
So this is a story. I've had one hell of a weekend, Skanky.
Yeah,
hell of a weekend. So in Chicago, we've had crazy, crazy, crazy rain, thunderstorm type things yesterday for like 18 hours straight. It was awesome and terrible at the same time. So yesterday morning, it was like the first Saturday that I haven't worked like on a Saturday in a while. And I like try and sleep in and like I'm like rolling around at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And, like I listen over and I'm like, wow, that rain sounds very loud. And like I like jump up out of bed, run over, and there is rain coming in from my ceiling all over my desk and my computer. And I'm like,
no,
fuck me. So like I run over, I'm like unplugging everything, powering everything down. Like I think the most heartbreaking, scary thing ever, not ever, but like in that situation is like seeing like your computer and your mixer just sitting there in the piles of like pools of water. And
yeah,
so like I'm like turning everything off and like pulling it all like apart and aside and trying to get everything dry, like opening up my computer case so like it can air out, make sure there's no water in there and everything. So I spent all day Saturday like disassembling my entire like thing, and I couldn't stop it because it's just like I said, it's like pouring out, and they were doing work on my building, so that's what caused the leak to like come on in.
Wow.
And come in through the ceiling. And so it's not like there's nothing really to do to stop it. And it was, so I just like took everything apart, and I was looking forward to spending the day playing video games or streaming and also recording a podcast. So what I ended up doing is, after I made sure everything was dry, I had to like move and reassemble my entire setup in my kitchen because that was the only place I had space to put it all. And so now I'm in my kitchen looking at my refrigerator. And if you guys want to see what my kitchen looks like, twitch.tv/mcole_Sundays broadcast is where you need to be. So it'll be great. But yeah, that's what my weekend has been. It's been
damn.
It was stressful and terrible, and it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like one thing if you have like stressful but you're feeling like you're making progress towards something, like, oh, it's stressful but I'm doing this. It's like another thing to be like stressful and like also just waiting, be like, I hope my computer turns back on when I plug the power back in. So
Did you do the rice thing or
No, well, so it was kind of like, it's kind of hard to do the rice thing with like a giant computer tower, right? Like if I drop my phone into water, like I go and stick it in a rice for like 2 days and just fingers crossed, hopefully it works, or like set specific components. But like with like the whole, like I don't think I could find enough rice to put my mixer into like a thing of
rice. Is that a challenge?
I don't know if I would trust it. Like a mixer has giant holes in it, so I like, you know, there'd be rice stuck somewhere in there. I just kind of like got everything as dry as I possibly could. And the nice thing with like a big computer case is you can open it up and kind of see where the water is at and like take a Q-tip and mop up between circuits where you see water. So it didn't get into the power supply as far as I can tell, which is one of the good things. And I don't think the circuit board or the motherboard hadn't shorted out yet. Well, it obviously hasn't because the thing turned on again. So I think I was able to catch it just in time to like pull all the power away so that nothing would get broken.
Oh, good.
So we'll see.
Oh, damn. All right. All right. Hoping for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think my neighbors really hate it, not because of the leaking water into my unit, but because now I'm like playing video games in my kitchen, which is like closer to where their units are. And they're like, wow, that guy screams a lot.
That guy's really annoying.
Exactly. He's like,
we should get him evicted.
Yeah. What happened? We went like an entire year with him in that unit. We've never heard him. And now all of a sudden it's like night and day. I can hear the guy.
Dick.
Exactly. So I think that's what my life is now. I am now a kitchen podcaster. That'll be great.
Now, I had heard that this happened to you on Friday. Is that true or was it on Saturday
morning?
No,
Saturday morning. Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. Because someone said that it happened on Friday the 13th.
Oh, no, it happened on Saturday.
All right.
So
never mind.
I like that there's rumors swirling around my computer.
We had a rumor because I was streaming on Saturday morning and I hadn't gone to your Discord because I had woken up late and I hadn't like read anything on Discord yet. Mm-hmm. And someone in chat mentioned how like your computer got flooded or something. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
What? And then someone was like, it's in his Discord. I'm like, well, I'm not like constantly there. Like, I didn't hear about this. I've been streaming for 4 hours, goddammit. And then I heard the whole story. And then my first reaction was, how are we going to record Shenantics? And then everyone's like, that should not be your first thing that you say. And I'm like, well, you know what, that is mean, but like, come on, really, how are we gonna record shit?
that was honestly one of the first thoughts I had too. I was like, well, this thing's fucked, like I don't know what we're gonna do for Shenanigans this week. So don't worry, I was with you on that one. I agree with you.
I did feel bad though. I mean if that happened to me, I'd be devastated.
Yeah, but you would also wonder how we were going to record Shenantics that weekend.
Oh, hell
so,
yeah,
exactly,
I would.
Exactly, exactly. So I totally get it. I totally get it.
I would have definitely been thinking of my backup plan.
Yeah, yeah. I had a backup plan. The one, the computer that you and I had retired 2 weeks ago would have become the recording computer.
We even played taps for it. Like, that computer's gone. Like,
exactly,
where it's done.
Exactly.
So
we had a little memorial for it as we were like, we no longer need
you. We would have revived it.
Yeah. Could you imagine if, like, we put it back into service, it just doesn't record? It's like the big middle finger to you.
No, you said that we were done.
Exactly. He said he didn't need me anymore. He said he figured out another way to streamline the operation. It's like,
that's
sorry.
Actually so funny.
Sorry, bud. Just help us out this one time.
Please. So.
And then you know, if that happened and it would like record, let's say it probably recorded Shenantics for like a month, then when I rebuilt the new computer, we would just like non-ceremoniously just put it aside again. It's like over there, it's like, hey guys, oh, all right.
Oh, rip.
I'll go back in the drawer. Bye.
So sad, man. So. I miss that computer sometimes, but not really.
Yeah, that computer was a bitch. It was an asshole. It was just very mean. So,
yeah,
it was great. But so speaking of which, because that computer, it's still around. I tend to keep all of my electronics for some reason. I don't recycle them. I don't resell them. They all just kind of go in a drawer and they stay there. What do you do with like your old phones, computers, and consoles?
I keep them around. I've recycled them in the past, but I keep just about everything, which actually this is an interesting conversation because just a couple days ago,
mm-hmm.
I think it was actually on Thursday or actually it was on Friday. I had come across, I had my old PC around for a while and it's like useless. It was built in like 2007 or something. And like, you can't really do anything with it.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, like, I wonder if this thing still works. So I put it all back together because there was like, I guess it was all over the place
mm-hmm.
and there were different components everywhere. So I put it all back together and I was like, hey, like I don't have any thermal paste. And I was like, is it going too far to go out and buy thermal paste just so I can put back this computer to not know what to do with it? And I was like, yeah, no, it's fine. So I went and bought thermal paste and I came back and I put the whole computer together and I was like, wow, it actually boots up, but I didn't have Windows. So I was like, hey, you know, like, let's make this a Linux machine. And I was just like, okay. And then I'm just installing Linux on there. And I was like, then I got to a point like halfway through installation. I was like, why am I doing this?
Yes.
Like, what am I going to do with this? And then I just stopped because I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Oh my God, I love that. I've so been there. I've so been where it's just like you get on this weird, like it's almost like it starts with nostalgia and then like morphs into like almost like geeky curiosity where it's just like,
yeah,
hey, now that it boots, let's do this thing that like you're, and it's almost like you rationalize it like somewhere deep in your brain, but you can't articulate why you want to do this. But yeah, yeah. No, totally been there. Totally been there. So.
I guess I could use it as like a server for something, but I don't know what the hell I would use it for.
That is also the second most geekiest thing in the world is that, hey, I have spare computer parts. I could always turn it into a server for something.
Yeah, that's one of my first thoughts.
Exactly. It's like, I really don't. It's the best thing is because I've done that before. I've turned it into a compute, like a server for something, and I always stop using it after like a month or two. The reason being is I survived for years without it being a server that it's not like actually filling a need in my life. It's just because I really want to play with computer parts and as well. So
that's my favorite thing is building computers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that part. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet.
Yeah. I should.
So it's just,
you know, if you and I were just like extremely wealthy, I would fly you out here to Chicago and we would have like a computer building stream.
That sounds so fantastic, and I would love to do that.
Yeah, we just gotta...
Let's win the lottery.
Let's win the lottery. It's like, can we buy a ticket for Shenantics? Like, we have like...
Oh,
we have
the
Skanky ticket,
yeah.
The Emkel ticket, and then the Shenantics ticket. And it's like,
that's
one just
idea.
Gets poured back into the Enterprise.
Yeah, back into... I like that.
Yeah, so I think...
It's okay, like, let's do that.
All right, let's do that. We'll have to find someone that like can drop legal representations and...
Oh, God, I wish we knew someone.
Yeah, if only we knew a lawyer.
Never mind. Let's scratch that. Yeah, we don't know anybody like that, exactly. So we should probably not even deal with it.
Scratch that plan. Setting up an entity, that's too complicated.
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you're right. So
it's not going to be worth it.
No, it's definitely not. So, but in addition to my crazy computer things this weekend, I have spent a disgustingly inordinate amount of time watching the Hearthstone Summer Championships. And by a disgusting amount of time, I mean, I think as of right now, what time is it? 5:00? I've watched 17 hours of Hearthstone Summer Championships over the course of this weekend. Well, yesterday I had like no computer, so I couldn't play games. So at first I had it up on my iPhone, and then when I got my router and my modem working again, I threw it up on the TV because I couldn't start the computer up. And me and Joe were watching that for literally 10 hours yesterday, just watching people compete in Hearthstone. And it was amazing. I now understand why people watch football all day Sunday. Like it makes sense to me now. It was awesome.
And now, are there professional Hearthstone players?
There are.
How do you become a professional Hearthstone player?
You gotta be very good, and you gotta be drafted out of college. And no, I think I'm not actually all that sure, but I believe how it kind of starts is, I mean, first thing is Hearthstone in the regular game has a competitive ladder in it, right? And so the way the ladder works is it goes from 25-1, and then if you get over 1 is where you get into what they call legend, right? And legend is its own kind of MMR-based ranking. So legend can be like from like, I think it's like 1,000, 2,000, all the way up to number 1 legend, which is the top based person. And so people outside companies and esports organizations can kind of use that to like as a kind of preliminary thing for you to be able to compete in any esports things that they do. So you can play Hearthstone, and if you're good enough to get to a top legend rank, you can go play competitive Hearthstone, and a lot of smaller esports things will have Hearthstone matches with money prizes at the end. And then outside of that, Blizzard has its own competitive Hearthstone thing where they have winter, spring, and summer championships, which then the top 4 of each of those each go and compete at the World Championships, which for this year is happening in January in Amsterdam. And the prize pool is like $100,000. So you have, and it's also kind of like other esports things where you do have different teams. I think like the, was it Digitas and Team Liquid? I think like a lot of the big name teams, at least in years past, have had players that go and compete in Hearthstone that have been associated with that team. Or you have people that have sponsorships and all that kind of stuff that then go and compete. So you could, you know, theoretically be a professional Hearthstone player.
Huh.
I think you should do it.
Me? Dude, I've never played a card game, online card game in my life.
Oh, man. Come on. I believe it. I will coach you, isn't and then it, I'll find someone else to coach you when we get past, like, rank 20 on ladder. So,
isn't it mostly all RNG, though?
Not really. So that is a big complaint with Hearthstone right now, is that a lot of the game does kind of have RNG elements. But a great example, honestly, even today, a great example, at least in high-level Hearthstone, is that there was an RNG element that helped someone win, but a lot of what they had to do after the RNG kind of gave them the boost was still very strategic thinking, right? The moves that they were making were something that you had to do in consideration of what the long-term game was, instead of possibly, changing... Like, just going, oh, I got this lucky big drop minion and kind of moving one way with it. They were like, no, all right, I got lucky here. Now, how do I build that into the strategy I was already using? So there is a lot of RNG, but at the same time, there is a lot of, logic and strategical thinking about when do you remove minions? When do you attack the hero? What spells do you use when? Should you save them, for the next turn or the turn after? So there is that element to it, but you do also have the random element to it. And I think the random element plays more of a factor in lower level Hearthstone. And once you get to higher level Hearthstone, you can't really rely on it, right? Like, if you're not going to rely on random, like, RNG to get you to level one legend, because people that have actual skill are going to stop you. Where at least lower in the ladder, you're like, hey, look, I got lucky and I just won five games I really shouldn't have. Like, that does happen, but that doesn't really happen when it starts to get more competitive, at least in my opinion.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So I guess now we're going to have to do a thing where you teach me how to play Hearthstone.
Totally. Me and Nerdy have been playing Hearthstone on Sundays for at least the past 2 weeks now. This will be our third week, where on Sunday nights, it's just me and him. We stream together and we play just decks against each other, random decks, and chat about Hearthstone and see like who can win and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a lot of fun. And there's been a few people I've gotten into Hearthstone before that, and kind of after that, I've gotten more excited when they've kind of been like seeing kind of the cool aspect of, collectible card games, and just the cool thing with Hearthstone. You like chess, right?
I do like chess.
See, I think you would really like Hearthstone, because it's not necessarily like that it's like chess, but it has a part to it where you have the strategical thinking about, I move a piece here or I move a piece there to try and capture different pieces. And then you also have kind of long-term thinking. Oh, I have a deck that has this different type of removal, and so I should play my deck this way, or I need to save this for four turns from now because that's when it really should be played. So it definitely has this like very logical, like planning out type thing, which kind of is similar to chess in certain ways. So I think you would like it. I really do.
Okay.
You should try it out.
You teach me Hearthstone. I teach you chess.
Oh my gosh, yes. We could make like a whole weekend adventure of this.
Exactly. Now, I have pitched this idea.
Okay.
On my stream before.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see any answers related to it, but I want to pitch it to you now.
Oh, I'm so scared.
Okay. I thought of this very funny stream idea that I want you and me to embark on.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
So
I'm sloppy seconds. You pitch it to your stream first, and then you're like, they don't want it. I know M-Cool will probably side on.
Well, I didn't really like ask them. Okay, no, because this idea has always involved you.
Oh, okay. I got it now.
I was just explaining it to chat.
I see. All right. I'm excited. Go on.
Okay. So do you know obviously you do know those like kind of somewhat lewd anime games, but they exist and they're not somehow banned on Twitch and people still play them?
I think so. Yes. I think so. Yes.
I want you and me.
Oh my God.
To play one of these games, and we assign each other a character in the game, like characters, and we have to voice over the characters on their subtitles.
All right. So first of all, I love this idea. I think this is great. I've also think that you knew, like, I think you, like, oh, I know Epcol. Like, I know that I could probably get him signed on this.
I knew you'd be.
Yeah, I'm totally down. I'm a little nervous because I know you're going to be way better at this than I am. And I just envision my chat of like cringes, like all the way down. It'll be amazing. I'm excited. I would totally do that, actually. That'd be great.
Right? Wouldn't that be so much fun?
That would be really fun. I feel like it'd be
super funny. Okay. You just got to find a game that won't get us banned.
I was just about to say that.
I feel like that's the hardest part.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, no, that is.
Because I watched, what's her name? Dizzy Kitten? Dizzy Kitten? Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
She did that a long time ago with another streamer who I don't remember the name, but they did like a voiceover challenge thing, and Dizzy Kitten's like really fucking good at voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
And the game that they were playing eventually has gotten banned on Twitch, unfortunately.
So we can't pick that one.
It really should have gotten banned. I don't know how it wasn't banned earlier. But
Was it? So Humble Bundle had a sale with a bunch of those games the other, like, it was like a month ago, and I thought it was so weird, Humble Bundle wise. I think it was those games because they eventually did end up getting banned from Twitch, but I can't remember the name, so never mind. But
hold on, I think I remember, I have to look up the game.
But so speaking of Dizzy Kitten though, I have not, it's funny that you mentioned, I haven't watched her stream in, I think it's been over a year now. I used to watch her all the time. She used to play a lot of CSGO and a few other things, and then also those ones she played, that rhythm game, was it Ozu or something like that?
You tap
the circles. That game is so cool. I've never
Is that the one
though.
That's underwater?
No. That's Abzu. This is like a rhythm game, like a DDR with your clicking on
circles.
Yeah,
that game's ridiculous.
That game is crazy hard. So I always wanted to play that one, never got around to it. So, but
she used to play that, really?
Yeah, she's really good at it. Really good at it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. She plays a lot of Stardew now.
Oh, really?
She plays Stardew at night now sometimes.
That blows my mind because all she used to play was, every once in a while she'd play that game, and lots of CSGO. Like, that's all I've ever seen her play.
I don't think she plays. She plays more Overwatch now.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. Because when I watched
You should
her
watch Dizzy
that.
Now, because it seems I know. Like you're, I just, she plays is, all the things you like.
Yeah, this is crazy. I need to go back
and
to
she's
Dizzy.
She's really game. Nice.
She is really nice.
She does ASMR streams, too, now.
Oh,
which
really?
Brings a lot of people, yeah.
I can imagine. That's interesting. It's funny because with the current mic setup that I'm doing in the kitchen right now, I was testing out the audio yesterday with Joe Mumbly and Tiny Dancer, and I was like, I'm literally not sitting at my desk. I'm on like the other side of my desk because the microphone's weird. And when I sit at my regular desk, like, it's super echoey. And so I moved on over and started talking to me, like, wow, it's super ASMR right now. And I'm like, hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
My name is M. Cole. I'm going to whisper. We're going to take a feather. The feather is going to touch the microphone.
Whoa. ASMR stream incoming.
Sorry, I don't know if you know this, but I'm not actually a lawyer. By day, I do ASMR full time.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
So, yeah, that's great. But anyways, do you ever look up what the game was?
Oh, I couldn't find it. Okay. All I remember is that it was, and I'm actually also kind of scared to look it up because the only thing I remember about it is that you are the manager of a lingerie shop. That's all I remember, and I don't really want to look it up. So
okay, but hold on. I think though, I think I know the game we could possibly play.
Okay,
could we possibly play Dream Daddy in voice over that, or does it have voice acting already?
See, that's, I don't know, because it'd have to be a game where we can both play it simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I have to look this up.
All right.
I have to figure it out.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of research that has to go on.
We got to do some work on the back end before we can figure out whether or not we, before we pick
God,
a game.
I'm trying to find this game, but I really don't want to type any of this into Google. Like,
wait, is there a way that you can look up previous Humble Bundles?
That's a good idea.
Because then if you look up the previous ones, then you can possibly stumble upon the one that I saw. which I'm pretty sure that was the game. They had like 8 in the series. I think one of them might have been a lingerie shop.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I remember how I figured it out because I went to Dizzy Kitten's...
Twinge?
No, I went to her her clips.
Oh, okay.
Because I think... Oh, yes, it's one of the... No, wait, this is one of the new games. Oh, this is a new game that they called Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh.
Which a lot of people are playing right now.
Okay.
But I don't know if we can both voice over it.
Okay.
Oh, maybe we can. I don't know. We have to look it up.
All right.
Okay, hold on. It's going to be here. It's going to be here.
It's library of the clips. So.
Oh, I think I found it.
Yeah.
Okay. Why can't I look up the name of the game? Oh, maybe because it got banned?
Suspense. Wait, if you just hover over it, we'll show.
It should.
Maybe because it got
Negligé, it was called.
Okay, that's not the one I was thinking of.
I think it was called Negligé. Yeah,
Sounds about right, but yeah. I guess you could also look up games banned on Twitch, and I don't think this list is all that long.
Yeah, I don't think it's very long.
I can't imagine
either.
That there's that many, but... All right, yeah, so I think I would be down for this idea. I think that's a great idea.
I think it's funny, right?
Oh, yeah,
I think
it's really
people
funny.
Would like it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll look into the Doki Doki Literature Club.
Just see what that one's about. So,
oh, it's free.
Oh, even better.
Even better.
Oh, man.
The Literature Club is full of cute girls. Will you write the way into their heart? This game is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Oh, no.
This is gonna be great. I'm so excited.
Okay, all right, we have to do this now. Yes, we have to do this. Let me make sure that this is not banned. I don't think it is because a lot of people are playing it, but okay, never mind. What else is going on?
Exactly. Speaking of Humble Bundle, did you see the news about them this week?
I did see that they got bought by IGN.
Yeah, they got bought by IGN. So for those of you guys that don't know, and I'm going to ask you, Skinky, what you think about this. For those of you guys that don't know, Humble Bundle is actually, it does a few things. And two of the big ones that Humble Bundle, three things that I think Humble Bundle does is, first of all, they do monthly bundles where you can get like 8, 10, 12 games for a cheap price. And the idea is if you bundle a whole bunch of them together, sell for $8, $10, $12, then like each developer gets a little bit of a cut that they wouldn't necessarily get. So it kind of gets like the marketing bump for all those different games. And they also donate to charity. Second thing they have is Humble Monthly, which is kind of like a Loot Crate-esque subscription thing, or like those other type of subscription models where you pay X dollars a month and then they give you a certain amount of games for free every month. And then the last thing is that actually Humble has turned into a publisher of various video games too. They publish or support developers of games that they think are promising, and then eventually sell those on the Humble Store, which is kind of a competitor with Steam. And actually, not really, because I guess they get Steam keys, but they are like another marketplace, and then also to include in future bundles. So they kind of have a lot of different roots into the various video game cultures, and they were bought by IGN, which is a video game publication that reviews video games, talks about that news, who's also owned by a much larger conglomerate that covers various publications. So what do you think about the news that Humble's been purchased by IGN?
I thought it was weird. I wasn't expecting that. I honestly don't really have a huge opinion on it. I was trying to hear other people's opinions about it on stream.
Mm-hmm.
And most people were saying that it was like kind of bad because of IGN's previous business practices. But I don't know anything about that, to be honest. I wish I could give you a better answer. I don't really know.
Yeah, I think that your feeling about it pretty much is what it is, that it is very weird. A big thing why I think it's weird is that I always think it's weird when a company gets bought and then in the press release they make a big deal about, oh, don't worry, they're going to stay independent, or they are their own team, that there's no influence or mixture with the IGN thing. And then I'm like, then what was the point of you buying them, right? Like, if you're not getting this extra value from like connecting your teams together, then like it's just like, oh, they make money, we want their money. So they made like a really big deal about that, which I also think they kind of had to, because if Humble publishes games and IGN reviews games, like eventually down the road they're going to run into a problem, right? So,
oh yeah, I think so.
Exactly. Like
I didn't think about that actually. Yeah, it's kind of a problem.
Yeah. So, like, let's say IG or let's say Humble like releases a game or publishes a game sometime in the future called like Moon Mountain or something like that, and then IGN has to go and review it. Like, even if they are completely separate and there is a big concrete wall between them that there never is any influence between the two, and IGN gives Moon Mountain a huge glowing review, people are gonna be like, oh, did IGN just do that because they own Humble? You know what I mean? Like, they own Humble Bundle. True. So it's just, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of a weird conflict. It just doesn't feel like a nice meshing of, oh, that makes sense why those two would want to partner up together. So, you know, I kind of agree with you on that, where it's not like I don't have good or bad feelings, but I just think it's kind of a little weird that they
went that way.
Yeah,
especially they're just so different, both of them.
They are. I could see why IGN wants them, is because the Humble Bundle name has an immense amount of goodwill behind it and positive thoughts, right? Like, if I was talking about something being offered on the Humble Bundle, like, A, you would probably, putting thoughts in your head, but you would probably think, oh, that's cool, let me check it out. You wouldn't think there's anything shady about it. You know what I mean? Like, they have a very upstanding reputation among the community, right?
They do,
so
yeah.
You're kind of like buying into that. Like, it's a very, very strong brand, and it's also instantly recognizable by a ton of gamers out there, right? If I go and say something about Humble Bundle in my chat, I can guarantee you that everybody knows what I'm talking about. So it's just, I feel like that's why it was kind of a attractive acquisition for IGN, possibly. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully it doesn't kill off Humble Bundle, because they are good.
Maybe they'll expand it even more.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't know. That'd be kind of nice.
They might have just needed access to more capital and money, where it's now that they have it, they can do more and bigger ideas that they've always wanted to do. So
that is very possible.
Yeah.
There was actually another recent acquisition, too, that I was going to talk about on the last week's podcast, but I totally forgot. Astro Gaming, the headset company, got bought by Logitech.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was a really interesting move. Since Logitech, I feel like their headsets don't really have like a big rep, or like a lot of people don't seem to like them very much. Mm-hmm. So now they're trying to capitalize on Astro. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is really interesting. I think a lot of what Logitech has been doing in the gaming area has been that kind of thing, where it's like, instead of developing their own competing product or something that like, or continue to develop it, not saying that they've never had headsets, but instead of like pushing that further, they just kind of buy their competitors, because then they get what their competitors are making, and they also kind of get a little bump on the press release when people search for Astro Gaming headsets, they find Logitech. But they've done this with the HOTAS, those space controllers or whatever. Oh, was it hands on throttle and steering? HOTAS. They bought like one of the like biggest and most well-known HOTAS manufacturers, and it's now a Logitech product. So instead of developing their own HOTAS that competed with it, they just bought the competitor, and now they have that, like the second best one. So
yeah,
and I think they've done that with some other gaming peripheral. I can't remember which, but. Oh yeah, it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of like their MO. That's just what they do, just buy up everybody. Yeah. Soon everything will just be Logitech products, Corsair products, and Razer products on our desk. It'll be great.
It kind of already is.
It is. I'm looking at my desk right now, and
like I got my Logitech mouse and my Corsair keyboard.
That's right. I got Corsair mouse, Corsair keyboard, Logitech webcam, and then my audio stuff is like all Mackie.
Go Mackie.
So it's, yeah, I guess that it is already consolidated down.
Kinda, it kind of is, yeah.
But
they got the gamers in the palm of their hands.
That is true.
It always, damn them.
It always cracks me up though when gamers are super passionate and gung-ho for like a specific gaming brand of thing. Like, I only buy Corsair products. Corsair keyboards, Corsair mice, Corsair memory, like just Corsair products. I'm like, okay. I don't know, it just feels a little weird to me to be like so gung-ho about like this corporate entity, but I guess that is the world we live in. So
I mean, I just hate it, man. Capitalism sucks. By the way, guys, this best podcast sponsored by Corsair Gaming. That's right. Get your keyboard with your your MX Reds, your MX Browns, your MX Blues, whatever the hell, MX Purples, whatever the hell you want, they got it on their store, Corsair.com. Go check it out with use code Shenantics at checkout.
And the only thing that will go perfectly with that brand new Corsair keyboard with the MX Blues is the brand new G Fuel MX Blue delicious drink brought to you by Shenantics. They call it Shenantics MX Blue to match all of your keyboards. Use Shenantics code, the code Shenantics at checkout.
10% off.
10%
off. And you get a free shaker. You get a free shaker.
You get a free shaker. It'll be great. We're never going to be sponsored. Until the end of time, we could be like, we don't want to be sponsored because we're independent. And everyone else is like, we don't want you. Like, we have listened to your podcast.
We've been in this podcast business for a while, M-Call.
Yes,
okay?
That's true.
I'd say we're seasoned veterans. Not really, but like we're pretty up there. You know, how are these people getting these sponsors, man? What do we got to do? Do we have to write up a letter?
You don't.
I'll make a letterhead.
I don't think you want to know what we have to do.
Tell me straight. What do we have to do?
So here's the thing. If you ever intend to have children, the first kid is going to be named Audible, the best source for audiobooks. That's the middle name. And then Skakey.
Go check him out.
Last name.
Use code.
Use code Shenantics at Audible, please. No, I don't know. I feel like a lot of them do take the proactive when they know they want to take sponsors, they go and reach out to the different companies.
I think so, yeah.
I feel like they start at Squarespace, move to Audible, and then kind of like work their way down the list of, I've heard them a lot, then they must sponsor a lot of people.
I feel like a lot of these podcasts get most of their sponsors from other entities, like they're part of a podcast collective.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like Pineapple Street Media is that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one? What's the one that Shenantics? What's the one that Dynamic Banter is on?
Oh, I can't remember. It'll come to me like in a few minutes. But yeah, no, I know what you mean.
They all get sponsors through them and they probably get a cut of the whatever it is or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I feel like it's also easier to sell, right? If you are representing a good portion of people, you can kind of pool their audience, right? Oh, we represent 5 podcasts that have X number of listeners among all of them, and we'll put your ad on all 5. And it's a diverse group of people. So it's like Audible isn't targeting gamers, right? They're targeting the public at large. So you could be like, hey, we have 5 podcasts across 5 different interest areas. So you get a huge market that you get to cover with this one AI. And then they kind of split up the money that way is what my guess is. Where if like we were pitching Shenantics, you'd be like, you should sponsor Shenantics because there is a very thin slice of the internet that listens to us. They are very specialized and they know their shit. Like, I know, maybe you should be the one that sells it to Audible, not me.
I think it's also that marketing agencies within these places are really, really lazy.
Yeah.
And they also don't know how to navigate the podcast medium because really it isn't very intuitive to find podcasts, I feel like.
Yeah.
So they're just like, here's a podcast collective where some of these people we could target. Let's just give them ads. Like, do it for us. Like, it's a lot easier for them to get into podcasts.
Actually, I think I know how it happens now. Now that you mention that, what it is that every year there's a new intern class that is hired, and like the interns, their first thing is like, I listen to this thing called a podcast that we should sponsor them.
So they
buy new sponsorships every year because of what their interns are recommending. Has to be.
I think that's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Go interns, man. Yeah.
Shenanticspodcast@gmail.com, Mr. and Mrs. Intern. You guys,
we're looking for an editing intern, unpaid. We don't accept college credit as well.
It'll be great experience for your resume though. Great experience for your resume.
Oh, wow. Really? Like, I mean, this is going to be probably the best experience you could ever get.
It's true. It's true. It's just grueling work, but at least you can say, hey, I edited one of the finest podcasts on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, lunch not included. You have to go bring your own.
Yeah. And you also have to have your own working space because we don't have an office space. So it just...
Yeah. And you have to wear a suit to it.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Why wouldn't we? Very respectable. Very upstanding podcast.
So. And you have to use your own equipment.
Yeah. Exactly.
And buy your own Adobe license.
That's what I was just about to say. We do not provide Adobe Premiere. So... As long as you can bring that with you, that'd be perfect.
That'd be great.
I'm sure your college offers it, so we should be covered. So I can't wait.
Graduate students only.
You gotta pass along the applications that you get, because I'm excited. I can't wait to see all the inflow of hundreds of people that want to do this.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great. I can't wait either.
So yeah, it'll be good. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if we actually really tried hard enough, we could probably get an editing intern.
We don't need one.
I feel like there's enough people that want that position.
You think?
It'd be great for a resume.
I guess it would be great for depending on what you want to do. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, like let's say you wanted to go into some audio editing and you're like
sound mixer. Yeah. Okay.
Because here's what I would do. If I was going for an audio editing position, what I would do is I'd bring two files with me. I would bring the raw Shenantics feed directly from Skanky and Emco's computer, and then the beautiful product that I produce that goes live on the internet. I'd be like, look at the magic I perform for these guys, right? They sound completely different. They look like they know what they're talking about. It'll just, I think you would instantly get the job. Instantly. So.
Yeah. So you're trying to say my editing is not good?
Oh, no, it's great. It's great, but yeah, it's not. Uh-huh. It's not try hard intern editing. Is what I'm saying.
It's interesting.
You're not relying on this for like trying to get the next rung of your career.
Well, maybe I am.
Ooh, now I feel bad. as your friend, I regret what I have brought you into.
Okay, sure. It's no problem.
I'm sorry that I recommend that you and I play anime sex games and voice them over. Oh, wait,
I never said it was a sex game.
Sorry.
Okay, it's a literature club where there's just supposedly cute girls in it.
Yes, you're right. Gaia.
Got him. Got him.
Edit that entire part out. It'll be perfect.
No, that's going to be the introduction to the podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
Definitely not going to get sponsors now.
Yeah, right? I think we're on 40 now. Like, episode 40, the beginning is we're going to play those anime sex games and Audibles. And it's like, nope. Bye.
Yeah, these guys are weird.
These guys are strange. So, I don't know.
There's a lot that goes into editing the podcast, though. I've never edited a podcast, obviously, before this.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't know how, like, in-depth you gotta be with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You've gotten pretty quick on it, though. Your skills have improved. So you've done some quick
turnarounds. Mostly because, like, I feel like it's a lot easier because I know we don't make mistakes in the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we do make a mistake, then I'll edit it out. But there's really, like, no editing that goes into it besides... Like cutting wise, I'm not cutting anything out of the podcast nowadays,
mm-hmm.
and I'll leave it all in. Unlike our first episode where I was cutting out so much random shit, like, but now like I could give two fucks whatever we say on this thing. So I throw it in there if I know we didn't make a mistake,
yeah.
And then I'll cut the beginning and the end, and then I'll find the little blurb that we put at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then I time that up. So I'll cut that down a little bit sometimes, and then export that guy, and then put our audio through Levelator, which levels out all our audio equally,
mm-hmm.
and then I get that, and then I put it back into Premiere, or actually I run yours through Adobe Audition, because for some reason your mic fucks up a lot, and records me, so I have to cut that out of your... Yeah, it's a whole thing, man. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, mine, I don't know why mine does that. I thought it was going to be fixed. It is a better this week than it was last week, but...
That's interesting.
I don't know. It's something weird.
It happens sometimes. Sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's really bad. I think it's the audio setup that you have.
I think I know what it is. I think I might be able to fix it for next week.
Okay, don't fix it right in the middle of right now.
I'm pulling wires out. I can't hear you.
Hold on, give it one second.
What does this one do? I think this is it. At the end, I'm like, why do I have an extra cable? Like, I'm confused. This is, I don't know.
That's too funny, man.
I will say, though, yesterday, though, when I was plugging everything back in, because I, obviously, when the water was over everything, I unplugged all the stuff. I was like, I don't want any connections anywhere. And then I was like, oh shit, I gotta reconnect all the audio.
How does it go back together?
Yeah, it was like, I didn't make a diagram, I didn't take a picture. Like, this is gonna be intense.
Oh, you didn't do a you always gotta take a picture. I know you were worried. You were worried though.
When water is coming through your ceiling, you do not stop and take a picture. Let me just say.
Oh no, I would, for evidence sake too.
That is true. That would have been a good
insurance.
Exactly.
Huh?
Like, hey, by the way, good call. But it was also, I was still asleep because it was, what time was it? I don't know. It was early in the morning, but I don't want to say what time because everyone's going to judge me for how late I sleep in. But it was early in the morning.
So like 11?
Maybe. It might have been 11.
It was 1 p.m., wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Hence why you were worried. Hence why you were worried. You're like, it's 1 o'clock. The water just came in. We record Shenantics in 3 hours. What the hell? Like,
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
If only he found this out at 6 a.m., then we would have been fine. It would have been perfect. So,
M-Call, I'm kind of sad.
Yeah.
Can we talk about why I'm sad?
Of course.
Sure. Well, you know what? I'm going on a nice little adventure on Thursday to a place called TwitchCon, and someone will not be there with me.
I'm sorry that Gabla couldn't go this year.
His name is Calm, and I'm really, really
Calm
disappointed
isn't
that
going?
He couldn't come. No, Calm's not going.
Think I can get him to come up to Chicago?
I swear to God, okay? If you have some, like, mini convention at your place in Chicago, I'm going to be so fucking pissed.
That would be the shittiest thing to do. Like, we would send you, like, a group picture and be like, hey, Skanky.
Dude,
That would be awful. I would fly Joe Mumbly out, all cost paid by me, be like, hey, Joe, I come to Chicago.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, man, yeah.
But yeah, no, so Thursday, you're headed out to TwitchCon.
Yeah.
Who's not going besides Calm? Or is it just Calm that you cared
about? A lot of people aren't going.
Really?
Yeah, you're not going.
I feel like I was like the only one that wasn't going this year.
No, you're not going. LC's not going.
Oh.
Pips isn't going. Calm isn't going. Jittery's not going because she came to stream on Saturday. We had a conversation about it, and she's not going because you and Calm are not going. So thanks a lot.
Well, hold on. Do you know where M-Call, Calm, and Jittery will be?
Where? Oh, you're gonna be at PAX South.
Yes, we will.
She told me that. Yeah, yeah. She did tell me that. Yeah.
I love PAX South.
But you know, money doesn't grow on trees. Okay.
oh, I hear you.
And who else is not going?
That's
all I know
people.
Right now. I know that Yummy's going.
Yummy is going. But Yummy is also like right next door. I think she might live in the convention center. Like,
I think she might. Yeah.
Yeah,
at
so
that point.
I feel like it's just she walks out her back door. It's like, hey, hi, Skakey. So, but yeah, no. Yeah, I one of my biggest heartbreaks that I don't get to see Yummy. I mean, you would be,
great.
But I got
sure.
I've already met you once,
okay.
And we talk every week.
That's
all right.
Fine. That's okay. I mean, it's just like the bring down Skanky podcast. Like, might as well rename it.
Also, I'm sad that I don't get to see GT because he'll be there also. So sad enough that I think that is preliminary in the works. But I think next year in the summer, I think I'm gonna take a West Coast road trip, fly out to somewhere in California, and then drive like all the way up to Washington and see everyone along the way. So
okay,
we'll call it TwitchCon pre TwitchCon 2018.
Sure. I'll wait. I'll wait for you to book the trip. Send me your itinerary when you're ready.
No, because that's just, I feel like that's just, that's hurtful. That's hurtful. That's like, hey, I didn't go to TwitchCon 2017. And by the way, Skanky, here's this awesome trip I'm going to take in the summer. Right? Like that's me.
Well, I want to know when you're coming to New York.
New York's on the East Coast. I said West Coast trip, Skanky. West Coast trip.
You said West Coast trip? I thought you said East Coast trip.
Did I say East Coast trip? I think I said West Coast trip.
Wait, what the fuck are you talking about? What trip are you talking? I thought you said you were going to the East Coast.
Nope. West Coast. Starting California.
Why are you going over there?
Because there's so many people over there. Think about all the people we get to see. You should come with. That'd be great.
I don't want to talk about that right now.
We'll talk about it after podcast.
No,
that'd be great.
Now I'm even more sad.
That'd be great. So when are you and I going to Disney World together?
Why? I don't know. You said Disney World, though. That's East Coast. Why don't you just do it on the East Coast then instead?
Florida to New York?
Yeah, Florida to New York. That's it. I used to do that all the time as a kid.
Yeah, but is it, how long is it from Florida to New York?
Two days.
Yeah, so I got to take a 2 days just driving up the East Coast.
No, if you do it nonstop, it's a day and a half.
All right.
But you got to sleep. It's important. Sleep. What you do is you switch on and off, you know, switch to someone else.
But I could stop at people on the way, right? So you start off in Florida. You got Nerdy Dad. You got Derp.
Yeah.
Over there, that freaky Derp. And then you kind of move your way up. And then you get around to the jittery, tiny rabbit area. And then you kind of keep going. And then you get around to the Hell Rider, Ari. Isn't Nate over there now? Nidrog?
Yes.
She's up there. You can go see her. And then you kind of keep going up. And then I get to go see Skinky and Galula.
There you go.
Any other East Coast people I'm missing?
Probably. You know, those are a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. That is a lot of stops.
Let's not even compare it to how many people are on the West Coast, because it's definitely less on the West Coast.
Yeah, you're right.
So
you're right. That's why I shouldn't go to TwitchCon. You're right. Now you've convinced me. I was thinking I was on the fence, and you have convinced me I should not go to TwitchCon now.
No, because TwitchCon is different. It's an anomaly, M-Call.
Oh, okay, I see.
It's where everyone goes to meet.
I see.
And to hug each other and to record a podcast live together.
Here's what I'm thinking.
As friends.
I wish that I was old enough that I could take a sabbatical. Because I think what I would do is I'd fly over to Seattle.
Okay.
Start with GT. And then we're going to go around the perimeter of the U.S., the main person I'm missing is Pricemaker. Pricemaker needs to fly somewhere to the coast. We're going to go all the way around so we can hit up Texas with Blue and Calm and everyone. And then we're going to come back up on the East Coast with Florida included. And I feel like we can just find everyone along that little trip right there.
Yeah.
I think it's like a month-long trip. Just a month-long friendship sabbatical.
Friendship sabbatical. That's a good name for a band.
Ooh, I actually really like that name for a band. That's awesome. Let's roll with that. Friendship sabbatical.
Friendship sabbatical is really good.
I like that one. But yeah, so I feel like I want to do that at some point in my future, just kind of like go around the entire coast of the U.S. I think it's going to take me a month. It'll be great, though.
It'll take you a while, but I think it'd be fun.
I think it'd be a really good time. But then the key question is when I get to New York, because that's where I'm going to end. I'll end at New York.
Sure.
We'll record a live episode of Shenantics.
Oh, good ending. Okay.
Yeah, right. The best ending. Do I then drive to Chicago, or do I just like, screw it, I'm flying home?
maybe you should just, I don't know, actually. Depends.
I think I should just fly home.
Probably fly at that point.
Yeah, after a month, I'm like, I'm done being in my giant RV that I probably rented for this, because you can't just use a car. Like, yeah, I think you're right.
I think you should, yeah.
Yeah, this is going to take a lot of planning, so we'll see.
Okay. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
It'll be even better if we can like get a caravan starting, right? And everyone's excited to go see the next person. And it's like just giant caravan going on the friendship sabbatical around the U.S.
Have you seen the podcast? Not the podcast. What am I saying? Have you seen the documentary? I think it's called Craigslist Joe.
No.
So it's this guy who starts, I think he actually starts in L.A., and his thing is that he wants to get to New York only using Craigslist.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. And like, just so that's the only way he gets like food or like transportation or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really interesting documentary about like people and like niceness of people. It's very interesting.
That is really, really cool. I really like that. That's awesome. I'll check that out.
You gotta watch it.
Have you ever heard of the One Red Paperclip?
No. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's the one where the guy wanted to trade a paperclip for a house. And so what he did is, like, along the way, he would trade the paperclip for, like, something else, and then something else, and then trade that up. And everyone, like, he was always gaining value along the way, or trading it to someone that wanted whatever it was, and eventually got to a house. I think he was successful. So that was back in, like, I think early, like,
that was a long time ago, right?
That was, like, the early aughts, if I remember correctly. So
I actually never even thought that story was true.
Maybe it isn't. I thought
it was just like, hey, you could do this if you wanted to, but like it doesn't actually work.
No, I feel like somebody did it.
Huh.
I feel like I went back. I feel like I followed the person that was doing it for a while and then got bored of it because it's not like that interesting to follow day to day. And then I came back like years later and he had end up getting the house that he wanted, or a house that he wanted.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Maybe it was all false and I just bought it.
Well, now you're lying to people on the podcast.
We'll Snopes it afterwards.
We'll Snopes it.
That'd be great. We'll see. So
I'll Snopes it right now. Fuck it. What is it? Red paperclip?
Yeah. Red paperclip. That's what, you know, Shenantics, the premier podcast of Googling shit.
Oh yeah. I think we're really good at.
We are. It's our forte. When people search podcasts that Google stuff, Shenantics is number one.
Oh, I hope.
Well, why wouldn't it be? I feel like no other podcast can do it as good as we do it. Right, we got the.
There's nothing on Snopes about paperclips.
What, man? That website's gone downhill.
A super good question: is paperclip one word or two words?
Paperclip is one word. Paperclips is two.
Really?
I have no idea.
Why would paperclips be two words, but paperclip be one?
Because there's so many of them, you need a space to separate the paper and the clip.
It's two words. Or sometimes one word. No, that doesn't work for me with Wikipedia.
I feel like I'm a champion. Like, that's all I need to lawyer my way into a good answer. Like, it's sometimes.
Oh, okay. On the patent, it's two words. I'm done.
All right. I'll go with that one too then.
Paperclip. There's nothing on here about, nothing on Snopes about the red paperclip.
Well, then.
Oh, wait. One red paperclip is a website by Canadian blogger Kyle MacDonald, who bartered his way from a single red paperclip to a house in a series of 14 online trades over the course of a year.
Oh, it only took him a year? I feel like it took him way longer.
Jeez.
I lost interest way sooner than I thought.
Okay, this was in 2005, and it ended in 2006.
Okay.
In July. Wow. Okay, so he went to Vancouver and traded his paperclip for a fish-shaped pen. Mm-hmm. Who the hell would make that trade?
I feel like at that point, anybody would, because the pitch is better than the actual trade. Right? If I went up to you, Skanky, and you had the fish pen and I had the paperclip, I was like, dude, here's a paperclip. I need your fish pen. It's not the best trade, but you probably don't care that much about your fish pen. You probably got it from the bank when you signed up for a checking account. You're like, yeah, sure, I'll give it to you if it's going to help you get your house. I think that's how all of his trades went. It's like, this trade will help me get a house. And people are like,
yeah.
Okay, here you go.
that doesn't really work then. I mean, I guess hold on. Okay, so then he traded the pen the same day for a hand-sculpted doorknob.
Okay.
Okay.
This is sounding faker and faker.
I know, right? He traveled to Amherst, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and traded the doorknob for a Coleman camp stove with fuel. Yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
Wait, who would take a doorknob
Nobody.
For the Coleman? No, yeah, you're right. All
right,
go on.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then he went to California. For God's sake, you could be saving all this money on traveling to maybe actually buy a house. Just saying. Went to California and traded the camp stove for a Honda generator. You know how expensive Honda generators are?
Okay, hold on. I feel like I'm going to play devil's advocate or paperclip advocate here. And
okay, fine.
The thing is that there's also a want/need type thing associated with it. If you really wanted the Coleman fuel grill thing and you had a generator that you haven't used in 6 years that was sitting in your basement, then you would make that trade, right? Like, the generator costs very little to you or has very little value to you because you haven't used it and it's just taking space, where that new Coleman gas grill could be very valuable to you because you want to put it to use. So It could possibly be a good trade. And the reason why I make this argument is I vaguely remember them making the same argument on the blog when he was doing it, that the reason he was able to make the trades is because the people that wanted to trade with him had found more value in the thing he was going to give up to them than what they owned.
Yeah.
Like, they really didn't care about the thing that they owned. And so they were easily willing to say, here, just have it. But go on. What else did he do?
Okay. All right. Fine. He made a second and successfully attempt after having the generator confiscated by the New York City Fire Department in Queens to trade the generator for an instant party, an empty keg. What? An IOU for filling the keg with the beer of the bearer's choice. And a neon... What the fuck does that even mean? He made an attempt to... So the generator got confiscated by the New York City Fire Department in Queens, where he bought it in California, and he traded it for an empty keg, an IOU for filling the keg with the beer of the bearer's choice, and a neon Budweiser sign.
All right. So okay, he's basically... Basically, you're selling a party to someone.
I guess, yeah.
I think that's what it is.
I think. Okay. Okay, yeah. He traded the instant party to Quebec comedian and radio personality Michael Barrett for one Skidoo snowmobile.
Holy shit.
What?
Okay. So that trade makes sense to me, though, because the talk show host comedian person has value in trading for the party, because the party gives him material for his radio or stand-up thing, right? Like that at least gives him something to talk to. And if he had a snowmobile around for a while that he doesn't really ride, then might as well just give that up. And it was also probably bought by the radio station, so it didn't cost him anything anyways.
Okay, let me make the counter argument for mm-hmm. this. The comedian is already famous. He's a radio personality. Why can't he just have a party for himself anytime he wants? No, why does he have to trade an expensive snowmobile for the party when he can throw a party whenever he wants? He could just sell a snowmobile whenever, like, to anybody.
Because, Skinky, I know you know this. I know you know uh-huh. this.
Okay, yeah. What do I know?
The, hey, I had a party last weekend is not nearly as good as a story as, hey, I found this guy that wanted to trade a party to me for my snowmobile. You know, like, this crazy guy came up with this crazy... You have way more of a story behind you than if you're just like, hey, I threw a party last weekend. Right? He needs stuff to talk about on his radio show.
All right. Okay. I get it. It's like when David Letterman sent Conan O'Brien a horse for some odd reason. That did actually happen. It was very funny. Within a week of that, he traded the snowmobile for a two-person trip to British Columbia.
Okay.
Okay, and then he traded the second spot on the trip for a box truck.
Wait, hold on. How did he trade the second spot on the trip? I thought he traded the entire trip.
That's what I thought, too. He said he traded the snowmobile for a two-person trip.
Okay.
So I guess there was only one person that could go on it. So he took...
All right.
I guess he's strategically...
Yeah. Divvying up the assets and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, then he traded the box truck for a recording contract with Metalworks Studios.
Okay.
What? Okay. Which is a... It's a recording studio. Okay, sure. That's really weird. Okay, then he traded the recording contract to Jody Nant for a year's rent in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Joni Nant is an American singer-songwriter and pianist.
All right.
Weird.
It just
gets weirder and weirder.
This is very bizarre.
Okay, he traded the 1 year's rent in Phoenix, Arizona for one afternoon with Alice Cooper? What the fuck?
Okay.
Okay, he traded the one afternoon with Alice Cooper for a Kiss motorized snow globe.
That had to have been worth a lot. Because
it had to have
like
been,
that high up in the chain. Like, that had to have been like a collector's item or something.
I hope.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, it's really big.
Oh, okay. So it's not just like a regular snow globe?
It's like a giant snow globe, I think.
Okay. And then what did he trade the snow globe for?
Okay, he traded the Kiss snow globe to Corbin Burnson for a role in the film Donna on Demand.
Is that a porno?
It's a direct-to-video dark comedy film.
Oh, okay.
Let's see how much it has on Rotten Tomatoes. I feel like we're getting way too into this.
I'm waiting for the house, man. I'm waiting for the
house. It doesn't even have a score on Rotten Tomatoes. That's how bad it was.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And then he traded the movie role mm-hmm. for a two-story farmhouse in Kipling, Saskatchewan.
All right.
And that's it.
All right. So, I feel like that was kind of like, I feel like it kind of peaked at the snow globe.
Like, that was kind of stupid.
I know. I feel like I got totally let down at the end. But a lot of those trades, though, in the, at least at the higher tiers, is things that cost people very little, but can be traded, like people valued very, very, very much, right? Like An Afternoon with Alice Cooper, like that cost people almost nothing, right? And so,
yeah,
you get it and you have this thing that costs someone, like they were willing to give that up to you because really it's like, oh, I paid nothing for this. Here you go, have it. And then you could trade to someone's like, oh my God, do you know what I would give you for An Afternoon with Alice Cooper? And like, so it's kind of like he was playing on that almost all the way up to the top. And then the movie role, you can easily see that just there's someone that's like, oh, I have this property that I probably inherited from my parents that I don't even care about, but I would love to have my breakthrough acting role, or I'd love to have any acting role for fun, or who knows what. And how expensive was this property? Was it literally the value of a paperclip? Did he go all the way back down? It's like,
I have no idea.
It's like one of those ones where they just like give it away. Like nobody wants to live at this exact spot, so just have it.
It's got to be haunted. I have no idea.
It's got to be haunted.
I mean, I think that's the turning point, and this is when he traded the 1 year's rent in Phoenix, Arizona for Afternoon with Alice Cooper, because, I mean, I think that's a terrible trade, whoever.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's the trade that's like, there's a money figure on it,
yeah,
but an Afternoon with Alice Cooper, anyone would pay any amount for it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I agree with you. That was the big turning point. That's why I felt like the snow globe was a weird follow-up on that.
Yeah.
That's the one that seemed very strange to me. But if it is a big, like, an big item, like, then maybe that makes more sense. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a cool idea, though. It was a cool idea. You have to,
yeah, I guess.
You have to wonder when he, like, started, he was like, oh, this is a cool idea. And they started, he's like, I just need to get that goddamn house. Like,
at that point,
I just need that to stop. I'm done with this. Like, just get me a house. So that'd be cool.
Huh. Interesting. All right, I learned something new.
I wonder
it's cool.
I wonder if we can redo that with something else, like steal his idea and just be like, I am going to trade a Corsair gaming mouse for an apartment. No?
Good luck. good luck. Do you?
I don't know. This is going to be a semantics thing, not a me thing. Like, I've now
learned. Oh, it's going to be both of us doing it?
I've now learned, based on this podcast, that if I frame things being a shenanigans type endeavor, that like it automatically brings you along. So it's.
Oh, great. So thanks for telling me. I know for the future.
No problem.
Just not commit to anything with you.
ever.
TwitchCon.
Things outside of my control.
My computer, you get rained on. We can't record shenanigans. Yeah.
There was no rain. No, I'm kidding. There was
rain.
I'm
sorry about that one. I felt bad about that one. I was just kidding. I was just kidding.
It was good. So,
yeah, food finish, M. Cole?
You know what, Skinky? Before we do food finishes, we do the small streamer shoutouts.
You know what? This is why I keep you around, M. Cole. You remind me about all the things I forget about, which is a lot.
I'm slowly trying to like scoop myself over so I can see all the details for our small streamer shout out in my kitchen.
Oh, that's
kitchen.
Great.
So I actually have the honors of doing the small streamer shout out this week. And for those guys that have never listened to Shenantics before, a small streamer shout out is me and Skinky switch off every other week, picking a small streamer that we enjoy and like and watch. So, and shout them out so that you guys can go check out their stream and see the cool new content, and then also let them know that Shenantics sent you. So my small streamer shout out this week is Spider Monkey at twitch.tv/spider
where
22 monkey. That's
sorry,
spider.
Oh, okay, sorry.
22 monkey. That's the number 2, not spelled out. So cool story with Spider Monkey. I love this story. I think I might have even said this on Shenantics before, but I was playing Overwatch. This was a few months ago. I was playing Overwatch and Gecko was hanging out in stream and we are playing this match and this guy that was playing Soldier was absolutely destroying me. And I was like, fucking A, Spider Monkey is so goddamn good. And Gecko was like, oh my God, that is my friend. I'm in his stream right now. And sure enough, that was his friend who was also streaming Overwatch at the same time I was. And we happened to get matched up against each other and we're playing against each other.
That's weird.
And so, but yeah, it was crazy. Like, what are the chances that, first of all, there's like millions of people that play Overwatch, and then just so happens to be at that time on a Saturday night. And also, both of us are based in the US and I think also in the Midwest. And a guy from Scotland that we are both friends with just so happens to be in both of our chats. It's like the craziest, awesome,
weird,
like, connection ever. And so, sure enough, it was him. And he came over and chat, and I went over his chat, and we followed each other. And I've been watching him, and he is really, really cool. He is much better than me at FPS games. Speaking of which, that is primarily what he plays. He plays various FPS games. He's played Overwatch in the past. He has also been playing some CSGO recently. I believe he has injured his hand. I think it's better now, but that has kind of inhibited a little bit of his streaming and gaming schedule. But you guys should absolutely go check him out. I believe he's also on Twitter at, I gotta find it. I saw it. This is skanky level preparation. I am sorry.
He's
at twitter.com/spider22monkey. Same username on both of them. I should have just assumed, but you know. But yeah, so you guys go follow him on Twitch at twitch.tv/spider22monkey and same username on Twitter. There's also going to be a link in the show notes. Hey, Skanky.
Yeah.
Do you have a food finish?
No.
Oh.
I'm hurt now.
Why are you hurt? What the heck?
I'm hurt. You know what? I'm hurt.
Well, is it because of the hurt. Same username thing?
But you know what? It's no. It's because you. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. I don't want to talk about it.
I feel like being in the kitchen, I should have a really good food finish for us this week.
Right? I feel like it.
I feel like. How do you feel about hummus?
I love hummus.
I had a great food finish of like last week or so.
I have a good food finish.
Oh, you do?
How do you cook your eggs?
Oh my God, that is a great food finish.
We've never talked about that.
We have never talked about that. So there's two ways I like to cook my eggs. First way is, and do not judge me, I like scrambled eggs a lot. I also like scrambled eggs with cheese.
I love scrambled eggs.
But a lot of people like judge that for some reason. But my second one is I also like my eggs, fried eggs, over hard. I'm not a big over easy or sunny side up person. I'm not a big fan of the runny yolk for whatever reason.
Okay.
I like my yolk to be cooked all the way through.
Okay.
What about you? How do you cook your eggs?
I like my eggs any style.
Really?
Yeah, I love poached eggs.
I don't think I've ever had a poached egg, actually.
You wouldn't like it because it's really runny.
Yeah.
But I think also making a poached egg is kind of difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always kind of like, I feel like it's a good barometer for how good the place is how good their poached egg is.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I like fried eggs. I like sunny side up eggs. I like eggs. What's that, egg in a hole? Have you ever had an egg in a hole?
No.
It's like when you get a piece of toast.
Yes, yes.
And then you drop the egg in it and you cook it. I love making that.
That is good.
I love scrambled. Mm-hmm. The only kind of eggs I never used to like were omelets until a couple years ago where I finally picked up on how good omelets are.
I was just about to say, who doesn't like omelets?
I know. I used to not really like omelets. And now I'm like all in on the omelets.
Nice.
So.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
So when you were saying that I almost have two conceptual, like eggs occupy two different areas in my mind for whatever reason, where there's like quote unquote breakfast eggs. Not to say they have to have them in the breakfast, like as a breakfast meal, you can have them whenever, but like they're typically a breakfast food, like fried eggs, scrambled eggs, stuff like that. And then for whatever reason, hard boiled eggs, those are like completely separate for me. Those are like a snack or on my salad or like a compliment to a lunch. Like those are not like, they're also like a breakfast egg, but they're almost like a different category. And I love hard boiled eggs
so much.
Also, let's be honest, hard boiled eggs are really just delivery devices for sodium. You just pour salt on it.
I pour a whole bunch of salt on a plate and then I rub the egg around and
exactly.
all the salt.
That's all that a hard boiled egg is to get salt from the plate to your mouth. Like it's, anyway.
Dude, I figured out this amazing way to peel a hard boiled egg.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's always the hardest
part.
Is trying to get the damn freaking thing off the shell. All you do is you take both of the eggs and you put them in a Tupperware container.
Okay.
And then you shake them all around.
Okay.
And then when you take them out, they're all broken. All you do is just peel it right off, and it's all good.
No way, really?
Swear to God, yeah.
I'm going to have to do that tomorrow morning.
I hope it works for you, and you don't blame me for having fucked up eggs.
I will. I'll send you pictures of just eggs everywhere. I'm like, what the hell did you do?
You dick.
You dick. Great troll.
I'll just write back. Lol.
Lol. Lol. That'd be great. That would be great. That was a great food finish. I can't believe we've never talked about
eggs
before. That was
good. Yeah, we've never talked about eggs. I love eggs.
Man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. That was a good one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm proud of you, too.
Thanks, Skanky. Thank you. You guys, that has been another episode of Shenantics. New episodes go live bright and early Monday morning, just in time for your school day, work day, chore day, whatever it is you are doing. We will be there to join you. You can find the podcast wherever you find podcasts, including the iTunes Store, Google Play Store, at our website at shenantics.rocks. If you have any time, leave us a review and rating at the iTunes Store. It really does help. If you guys have any questions, you can send us a tweet at twitter.com/shenanticspod or an email at shenanticspodcast@gmail.com. You can also join the discussion in our Discord. Head on over to the website shenanticspodcast.rocks/about. There is an invite link for you to join up with all the other Shenantics fanatics that discuss the podcast every week. Skanky, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/skanky, S-K-X-N-K-Y, and on Twitter at iSkanky, I-S-K-A-N-K-Y, M-Cole. Where can they find
you? They can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/M-Cole_M-C-U-L, the underscore symbol, and the same username on Twitter, twitter.com/M-Cole_. Skanky, it has been great talking this week. I cannot wait until, next week, you and I have to talk. You have TwitchCon. We got things to discuss.
Oh, shit, we do need to talk.
So, this is the earliest we've ever realized that we have a problem.
Oh, God. Okay, bye.
Bye.